Welcome back in hour two, Campbell and Knezovic. I'm Michelle Knezovic from the Hillside Game Studios. We got Nick on the board. Elijah Campbell signing in from South Carolina this morning. Hour two, Elijah. And we are getting into all the preseason predictions, getting into all of that, probably overreacting, because we're not actually going to know until they hit the field. But that's okay, because we wouldn't have jobs. Well, I hope we would.
Very true. Overreacting is our job. That's what we're paid to do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fun. If you want to weigh in on the conversation on the Tennessee Titans, we're also going to be talking Indianapolis Colts, Jags, and Texans, taking a look around the whole AFC South and where Tennessee fits in it. You can text us at 615-737-1025 or call us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, or watch us on the stream. Driven by the law offices of Manor Gentry. We're live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook now. So you can see our beautiful faces. Elijah is wearing his Campbell Fighting Campbell's t-shirt. I am wearing my 1025 The Game. Wow, I'm logoed out this morning, and I almost put on my hat. That would have been like a lot of promotion.
Oh, wow,
right,
that's
there.
Triple logoing in one shot.
Yeah, right? Like I'm a walking advertisement right now. Okay, Elijah, I previewed it a little bit, taking a look at the AFC South. You know, heading into this year, I hate to count them out because I do think that the Jags will have a bit of a turnaround year with Trevor Lawrence coming into his second season, also just not having Mr. Urban Meyer there just to...
to sabotage the entire operation, yes.
To ask them, yeah, you should watch out for that 99 guy. You mean Aaron Donald?
the best player in the league, yes. That guy, yeah, might want to watch out for him.
Hopefully Duval down there gets it back together. I mean, I think that at least Trevor Lawrence will have another year under his belt. I mean, considering the whole first year was about a dumpster fire.
Total disaster, yeah.
Texans finally got rid of Deshaun Watson and all of that drama surrounding that, which now the Browns have that, and they are kind of, there's, you know, each and every day, I feel like we hear a little bit more information. Still don't even know if Deshaun Watson will hit the field with the Browns this year, how many games that he will be suspended for. I'm assuming six, maybe more, but that's still
feels like six. 4 to 6, I think, is what is probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, hey, that's half the season. So we could see former backup quarterback for the Colts, Jacoby Brissett, get some snaps in, because the Colts have just been in these last couple years on this quarterback carousel, Elijah. Right? Mm-hmm. After Luck retired, then it was Jacoby Brissett was the backup for a bit, then Philip Rivers, then Carson Wentz. I almost forgot about him for a second. And now,
it's a very forgettable year for him, yes.
Yeah, right? Now they have got Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons, and we cannot forget, they just signed as their backup Super Bowl champion, Nick Foles. Dun, 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 dun. So the
That's
Colts,
right. Another insurance policy.
So the Colts have been in this quarterback carousel, and just, you know, as one door opens, another one closes. And I feel like all of these quarterbacks, essentially after Luck, have been on this one-year trial period with Frank Reich and Chris Ballard. It was no surprise that at the end of last season, Chris Ballard made it very, very obvious that even if Carson Wentz doesn't go to another team, that they are willing to just kind of eat the money and just cut him, because they did not want him as their quarterback. And we saw a lot from the Colts this year because they were in that in-season hard knocks. And we saw, you know, glimpses of just the lack of leadership from Carson Wentz. And Stephen Holder, we have on a lot on Robbie and Rex Road, who's the athletic writer for the Colts and also covers the NFL as a whole, you know, told us that it was kind of obvious that when you go from Philip Rivers, who is a great leader, right? You just think of him with his nine children, right? Just a great leader. He's like everybody's just dad. I feel like he's just like a typical dad.
Rocks the bolo tie to the press conference kind of fella. Yeah.
Well, and when I was covering the Colts, that Philip Rivers was the quarterback. And it was such a positive response from, you know, the coaching staff and the players. Everybody was raving about him. And even the media, like, he was just such a great personality, positive, and just seemed like everybody kind of looked up to him, right? And then you get Carson Wentz, and that is, it's just not the same when it came to the whole vaccination situation with him. And then, obviously, his injuries, and it just wasn't a good fit, and he wasn't a good leader at that position for the Colts. So now Matt Ryan comes in from the Falcons. This Colts team already was a solid team, right? I mean, they have great pieces. They've got Jonathan Taylor, mm-hmm. which we all know that big discussion between him and Derrick Henry. They've got Darius
Leonard.
Valid
discussion now.
They got Darius Leonard. You know, they've got Pittman Jr. And obviously the list goes on and on. But do you think that this Colts team, I mean, Tennessee swept them last year, but do you think that this Colts team, the quarterback, if Matt Ryan is a fit and can, you know, fit into the offense and transition nicely for them, do you think that this is just the piece that was missing and that the Colts could potentially, I know this is, sweep the Titans this year? It's always a tough game.
It always is, and they've had a history of sweeping the Titans and during the Peyton Manning days, but I think the Colts and Titans are almost carbon copies of each other. You know, their defense is going to be the strength of both teams. And when it comes to the offense, the quarterback's a question mark. You're going to lean heavily on the run game. Your best player on offense, your best weapon is the running back. And then you kind of have to evaluate, you know, when you're evaluating these two, like I can almost concede that these defenses are a draw. You know, the Colts and Titans, really, really good defenses, two of the best defenses in the AFC. And the Colts got better by adding Stephon Gilmore and Yannick Ngakoue. Offensively, though, I mean, if you look at the quarterbacks, I think Ryan Tannehill and Matt Ryan are a tie. I think that's a draw.
Yeah, they had pretty even stats last season.
Yeah, Matt Ryan Tannehill is a real thing. You can just combine them into one. Running backs, I mean, Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, see? But Jonathan Taylor might be the best running back in the NFL when Derrick Henry's not healthy. If Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry and that Tennessee Titans offensive line can run block like they did last year, even with the absence of Roger Saffold, yeah, I mean, you can maybe concede the Titans have a better run game, but I don't know how that offensive line is going to look. We've already laid out those issues. And if it's not what it was last year, the Colts will have a better run game because they will have a better offensive line. They have the best run blocker in the league, arguably, in Quentin Nelson, and that's going to help out a lot. And then when you look at the wide receiving core, the biggest thing is they're not deep. But at least with the Colts, Michael Pittman Jr., I think, is a better wide receiver than Robert Woods post ACL surgery north of the age of 30. And you don't know what you have from Treylon Burks. You don't know what you have from the rest of everybody else. And the tight end position, I think the Titans might have a little bit of an edge. I love Okonkwo, and Austin Hooper's a solid pass catcher. For the Colts, I like Mo Alie-Cox. Solid, not an elite tight end. And Jelani Woods, 6'7", draftee from the University of Virginia, could be a stud one day. But you don't know about him either. Could. Keyword, could. But the offenses are very similar to me. I think the winner of this division is going to have 9 or 10 wins, and it's going to be the Colts or the Titans. Because I think, like you, the Jags are going to maybe split one from one of those two teams, whether it be the Colts or the Titans. Like, I know it's not Friday. It's not Shoot Your Shot Friday, but if I was to shoot my shot and get a bold prediction.
Call your shot, Elijah.
Call your shot. Shoot your shot. Yeah.
Shoot your shot is Friday. Like sliding into DMs.
that is, isn't it? Yeah. A different connotation there. Calling my shot that the Jacksonville Jaguars probably take a game from the Titans this year. It's very possible.
Well, listen, but the Colts have not beat the Jags in Jacksonville in almost 14 years. Isn't that 14, insane? Yeah.
That's incredible because the Jags have had some bad teams and the Colts, quite frankly, have had some good ones. So the fact that hasn't happened is pretty mind-blowing. But yeah, I can totally see that being that scenario unfolding this year. But when you're comparing the Colts and the Titans too, I think they are very similar teams. I can easily see the winner of this division going 10-7 and the second place team going 9-8. And it's either going to be the Colts or the Titans.
Well, and the thing about these two teams is that unfortunately they play each other both games. One is October 2nd and one is October 23rd. So they're going to be like such
2 weeks apart,
such quick turnaround games where once those are played, essentially the division's locked up.
It depends on how and what happens before then too. Like say the Colts have a two-game lead already in the Titans. Titans stumble out of the gate. They take both those games from the Colts, and then theoretically you're tied. Then it's just two plays well from there on out. But you want that tiebreaker of winning both of those games. You know, like that is monumental because I think at the worst the Titans are going 3-1 against the Jags and Texans. I would be stunned if the Texans beat the Titans at least next year. I think if they're going to lose to either of those teams, it's going to be the Jags. But I see three and one as a real possibility against those other two teams. And there's a big difference between being, you know, 3-3 in your division and 5-1 in your division. 5-1 will win you the division if that's your division record. 3-3 will not.
No, I mean, you You put it perfectly there, Elijah. And we talked a lot about the Colts, like we said. Stephen Holder from The Athletic, we're going to play an interview coming up in the next segment. He was on with Robbie and Rex Road, and he was actually at the Colts, you know, OTAs this week, and he kind of gave us a little look into what's going on up there in Indy. Elijah, you are signing off with us today. Any fun plans for Memorial Day weekend? I know you're going to be in South Carolina.
Yeah, just chilling out here in the Palmetto State, kind of scoping things out. Never been to Columbia, South Carolina before, so we're here on enjoying the weekend here. So, yeah, we're about to figure that out once we get off the air here. So,
well, love to hear it. And everybody listening, we hope that you are having a great Memorial Day weekend. We are going to say goodbye to Elijah right now. Coming up after the break, we are going to hear from Stephen Holder from The Athletic. He's going to give us insight on the Indianapolis Colts and the NFL as a whole. You're listening to Campbell and Knezvik on 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Campbell and Knezvik, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. I'm Michelle Knezvik. Nick Keezer is on the board spinning some tunes. If you want to join the conversation, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And like I said, if you want to weigh in on the conversation, 102.5 The Game phone and text line, text us or call us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The phone number is 615-737-1025. Elijah has said goodbye to us, Nick. He is going to enjoy his Memorial Day weekend. We are on the show for the next 45 minutes. Right now, you guys are going to hear an interview from Stephen Holder of The Athletic. He is on Robbie and Rex Road quite a bit. He covers the Indianapolis Colts in depth. He was there to watch the Colts inside their practice today. Also takes a look at the NFL as a whole and all the storylines going on. Here is the interview by Robbie and Rex Road with Stephen Holder this week.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Stephen Holder from The Athletic. Stephen, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great. How about you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be on with us here this morning. So, Stephen, we were just talking about this, looking around at the rest of the AFC. I think Joe and I identified the Jets, the Texans, and the Jags as the three teams we feel pretty good about not being playoff teams. And that's about it. Can you remember a conference really ever in the history of the NFL being quite like the AFC figures to be this year on paper?
Yeah, it's really intriguing on paper. I just think with all the talent that has come in, there's almost a little bit of an imbalance. I mean, it feels like the old Western Conference in the NBA, you know, where it was like, man, if you're in the West, you just got to barely make the playoffs. You know, I mean, it does feel that way. You know, obviously the expanded playoffs will help, but there's going to be, I think, some good teams on the outside looking in. This is definitely, I think, a new day for the AFC.
Stephen, I know you've been able to catch a little bit of Colts action, you know, here this spring here recently. What are your thoughts of Matt Ryan so far, and maybe anything else that stands out?
Yeah, I think with Matt Ryan, it's potentially, and again, everything's on paper right now, and we're doing a lot of projecting. But I think the difference he is going to make may be bigger than we really appreciate right now. I think that's possibly true. And the reason I say that is I just think this offense under Frank Reich, it's going to be able to function the way it was intended with Matt Ryan. This is not necessarily shade to Carson Wentz, but I think that it's a timing offense. And if you recall when Philip Rivers was quarterback here a couple of years ago, you know, you saw a lot of these crossers and these wide receivers getting yards after the catch and really being productive that way because the ball was on time and guys were getting the ball in an accurate position where they could run with the football. And look, they have to do a very good job of play design here. They draw stuff up pretty effectively. And I think really what it takes is execution. to get that stuff done. And already, just in a couple of practices, what you can see is it's very add a lot more juice to this offense in Indianapolis.
Steven, looks like Kenny Moore is looking for a new contract with the Colts. How do you see this situation playing out for Kenny Moore and the Colts?
Yeah, these things are always delicate. You know, when you've got a guy with multiple years left, you've got 2 years left on that contract, and certainly the Colts are worried about setting a precedent here, and by renegotiating this contract. At the same time, I do think that you can make a pretty compelling argument that he signed this deal in 2019. He got an $8 million bonus then, but he has, he's got no more guarantees left. He's averaged, if you want to call it a 4-year extension or a 5-year contract total from the day he signed it, it's either a $7 million average or eight or $9 million average. Look, there are 22 cornerbacks in the NFL making in excess or an average of $10 million a year. He's not close to that. So the question then becomes, do you want to consider him among that group? I think probably so. He made a Pro Bowl this year, and what he is asked to do for the Colts is a lot more than what people describe him, which is technically a slot cornerback. He is effectively, I think, the third most important player on their defense behind Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner, just because of the litany of things they ask him to do. So I get why he's asking for the contract. I also understand that the Colts, they're very, very adamant about not renegotiating. So it's a standoff, and I don't know who ultimately blinks first.
Yes. So, Steven, we've talked quite a bit about the Titans' offensive line, its role in Ryan Tannehill's regression last year, but the importance of pass protection, losing Roger Saffold, not a great thing. I'm wondering, with the Colts, obviously a lot of talent up there, but it's not like protection was great last year. There were some struggles, some moving parts. How do you feel about that group at this point?
I would agree. I do think that there was definitely regression from the offensive line. I think for the first time since the Quentin Nelson draft class, that was probably the first year they took a backward step, I felt like, on the offensive line. That being said, I do think they're going in the right direction. A couple things to note: a lot of that, or some of it at least, was the product of injuries. Quentin Nelson played hurt all year. Braden Smith, the right tackle, he was hurt most of the year, and definitely I think that showed in his performance. Now, Ryan Kelly, he and his wife had a family tragedy. He missed several games at a Pro Bowl center. So you had your three best players were impacted. Their performance or their availability was impacted last year. So I don't think it's a surprise that they took a step back, but the fact is they did. And now, from what we know at least, Quentin Nelson is healthy. Braden Smith is healthy. Ryan Kelly's back. The left tackle spot's a little, up in the air. But they did spend a third-round pick on Bernard Raymond from Central Michigan. They think that they got a steal there, and he's going to get a shot along with Matt Pryor, a veteran who they really like, who did perform well there instead of Eric Fisher at times last season. So if they figure out left tackle, I feel pretty good about it. The rest of the spots, I think they're pretty solid, frankly, and I think they can have a pretty solid line this year. Matt Ryan, frankly, will consider this an upgrade from what he had in Atlanta. So from his perspective, he feels pretty good about it. So that I can tell you for sure.
Steven Holder from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Steven, how do you view the Titans with the offseason that they've had? Obviously, you trade A.J. Brown to Philadelphia. They drafted Treylon Burks. Joe brought up Roger Saffold being gone to the Bills as well. Not a ton of additions. You did bring in Robert Woods from the Rams. But overall, how do you view the Titans right now with the offseason that they've had?
It's interesting because I think we have seen this offseason, really the past couple offseasons, we have seen teams that have come up short really get aggressive in the offseason. and or just in general, teams have gotten pretty aggressive in the offseason. The Titans have gone the other direction. They've kind of stood pat for the most part. And I think it's interesting when, you know, when you factor in the playoff results that they had and then to have the offseason that followed, I think that's mildly surprising. You know, from there certainly are financial constraints, but frankly, one of their best players is going out the door. And I'm talking about A.J. Brown, and certainly Roger Saffold doesn't help either. So I think that would be my first assessment. Just, you know, what does that tell us about how they feel about their football team? You know, does it send a message that they think they're okay? Do they not need to be more aggressive? I don't know. It's interesting. I think that it certainly puts a lot of heat, I think, on the men running the show, because look, when you have a lot of regular season success, and they have, and they should be lauded for that. You know, there are expectations that come from that, and those expectations center completely on the postseason. So it'll be interesting, and I think the AFC South is going to be tougher this year because I do think Indy is a stronger foe. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out, and if it doesn't go as well as they hope, you know, what is the what price is there to pay for that? I'm not suggesting anyone's getting fired. I think that's a little ridiculous, but I'm just saying I do think the heat gets turned up a little bit because the expectations are there and they're real.
No doubt. And speaking of expectations, Stephen, you know, obviously they've changed dramatically in Denver. Tension level changes dramatically. I mean, I'm very intrigued by that team. What do you think of that team this year with Russell Wilson at quarterback?
I really think that he has an opportunity, I think, to make one of the biggest differences of any acquisition we've seen this offseason. I mean, that team has been pretty formidable. I mean, they're not a team that's really a pushover. You know, really the last few years, even though their record doesn't necessarily always reflect that they were very good, they're not a team that people just walk in and have their way with. And, you know, they play consistent defense, so that's always going to get you places or take you places. They also have some pretty formidable skill positions there, skill position players. And I think Russell Wilson is going to really accentuate those guys. I mean, think about, you know, who's been playing quarterback there in recent years, and yet, you know, they have really, I think, displayed a lot of talent there at wide receiver. Now, think about what Russell Wilson can do for that group and taking it to the next level. So that team's got all kinds of potential. I mean, now, the flip side of that is the AFC West is the absolute murderer's row. And, you know, I worry if you're one of those teams, I would worry, you know, do they all beat each other up? And, you know, what does that do in the end in terms of the final result and everyone's record? So that is, that's just a fascinating division. It's gone from, you know, a division where Kansas City basically ran things to now being, I mean, who knows? I think it's wide open. It's frankly wide open. You still like Kansas City, maybe, but it's not as if they didn't have a big change this offseason, you know, for the negative with Tyreek Hill. So that's a fascinating division, and Russell Wilson is a game changer, no question about it. The Raiders are better. The Chargers are better. That's the division I'm watching.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Stephen, great stuff as always. Appreciate you making time for us this morning.
That was Stephen Holder from The Athletic on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. Had a lot of good takeaways on the Titans, on the Colts, and the NFL as a whole. I have a couple takeaways from this interview that I'm going to give you all on the other side of the break. You are listening to Campbell and Knezevic on 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app. Campbell and Knezevic off and running. 30 minutes left of the show today. I'm Michelle Knezevic. Elijah Campbell is on vacation for this next part of the show. He was on with us earlier this morning. He is in South Carolina soaking up that nice weather. We've got Nick Heiser on the board with me today. Jared Cassidy looks like he is also on vacation. Nick, Memorial Day weekend, you and I are working, but, I mean, we work in sports, so what could be better, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's no better time than to be talking sports when you're celebrating American things, so why not?
I love it. Well, listen, better time would be maybe a little bit more going on in sports, I would like. Maybe in March, maybe October, but like we talked about before and like you just heard from Stephen Holder from The Athletic, who covers the Colts, this is the time of the year where we like to look at teams and we like to predict how well or how bad we think they will be in the NFL this year, in the 2022 season. Who's going to beat who? We're going to do all these preseason projections, and yes, they probably will change. Tennessee Titans coming off the one seed. You know, everybody, nobody will forget that playoff run and that heartbreaking loss to Cincinnati in Nissan Stadium this past year. And one of the biggest takeaways, Stephen Holder, who was actually at that game, he was writing with our very own Joe Rexroad. They were tag teaming for the divisional round, had something really interesting to say. And I wrote it down in my notes when we were listening to that interview again from Robbie and Rexroad this week. And he said that a lot of the times what you see in the NFL is when a team comes up short in the playoffs, which is exactly what we saw happen to this Tennessee team. I mean, throughout the season, we saw them overcome adversity and they broke the record for most players activated, right? They had so many players injured, players were on COVID lists. It was just a never-ending cycle of, okay, who's going to get activated this week? Who are they going to find? Because, unfortunately, it was just hard for players to stay on the field. And obviously in the NFL, you're going to have players get hurt. But for this team, it was player after player after A.J. Brown, a crucial player. Julio Jones could barely stay on the field. And then the big domino that fell was when Derrick Henry broke his foot and, you know, wasn't able to come back for the remaining of the season until the playoff push. And one thing that Stephen Holder said that I thought was a really great point by him that said, usually when you see these teams fall short in the playoff run, that in the offseason, they're very aggressive and they're in still that go for it mode. And that is something that we didn't see with Tennessee this year. I mean, for starters, losing your second best offensive player in A.J. Brown. And if they didn't lose A.J. Brown, I think I would view this statement different. Because I think that when they got Austin Hooper and when they got Robert Woods, you're looking at this offense like, oh, wow. You know, Ryan Tannehill's got A.J. Brown. He's got Robert Woods, and then they're thinking, oh, maybe the Titans will then draft another wide receiver as their first round pick, but thinking in addition to those two. And then they also get Tannehill, finally a tight end back, and Austin Hooper. Whereas we didn't see Tennessee be aggressive in the offseason after coming up so short to the Super Bowl. I mean, essentially, in my head, when I covered this game and we were previewing it all week with the Bengals and everything, there was not one point in my head I thought that they would lose this game. And I'm sorry for any fans listening right now, and this is just bringing up old grievances. But I thought that maybe there still is another move that Tennessee has to make. And I think that, you know, the offense is taking a step back, but I do think that this defense is taking another step forward and that it could be the second, third, some could even say first best defense in the entire NFL. I mean, the fact that you have Bud Dupree coming off, last year you have him coming off an ACL injury, only had, I think, 3 or 4 sacks the entire season, but also he was another player who was on and off the field, and then he ended up having an abdominal injury. I think that this year Bud Dupree is going to have a huge year. We played this little game. I played it with Junie, who's one of our workers here. He's a co-host. We're actually, us three are going to be a duo on Monday. We're going to be hosting the show from 9 to 12:30 because of Memorial Day. Nobody's getting up at 6 a.m. and having to host a show, so we're going to get to sleep in a little bit, Nick. We played a little under-over game, and it was, do you think Bud Dupree will have under or over 8.5 sacks this year?
probably under.
See, I originally said under as well, but I think with more thought, and like we said, this is prediction season, that he's getting paid big. And I think that him and Jeffrey Simmons as a combo are going to have a monster year. Then you've also got Ola Adeniyi. You've got Harold Landry, right? Those huge guys on defense, you still have them. And we saw in a lot of games, I think of the Rams game this past year, where the defense won you that game. David Long Jr., Kevin Byard, then you draft McCreary, so you're going to have a little bit more depth. It's hard to speak this morning. Depth on your secondary. You've got Christian Fulton coming off, you know, a year where he's really emerging at that corner position and still young, but, you know, under Kevin Byard, who's the leader of the defense, I think that it's really promising for the Titans. And then I think, although you might not have, right, a potentially generational, well, not generational, but, you know, high-level wide receiver in A.J. Brown, I think that the offense won't take as big of a step back as people might think. I mean, you see A.J. Brown, and he is that diamond, right? He is the diamond in the offense paired up right with Derrick Henry. And I think people think, you know, Derrick Henry did get hurt last year, and he does have a screw in his foot, but I personally think that he is going to come back and have a very solid season for this Tennessee team. Maybe not a 2,000-yard season that he was gearing towards two in a row last year until he got hurt, but I think that he is still going to be Derrick Henry.
If he's not, there's a big problem.
If he's not, then the Titans are in a very different situation. But let's just say he does. Let's just say he does have, you know, a solid Derrick Henry season. Not a 2,000-yard season, but a solid Derrick Henry season. Tannehill, when he had Arthur Smith as his offensive coordinator and he had a solid tight end, it was different for him. So I think another year under Todd Downing, having a number one tight end in Austin Hooper, Robert Woods, who's looking like he is healing great off that ACL injury. Tannehill even said that he loves throwing to him. And, you know, Treylon Burks, if he comes in as a rookie, those A.J. Brown shoes are really, really big to fill, and it's not fair to expect that from him coming into his first season. But I do think if he has, you know, 600, 700-yard season, you know, 5 touchdowns, I think that's fair. I mean, that would be a great, solid rookie season, very promising.
That's a good ceiling.
If you were a Tennessee fan. Anything more than that, that's just cupcakes. That's great.
Absolutely.
So I think that we had Adam in Portland call us earlier and say that, you know, he was excited for this offense. And I agree. I think as much, you know, doubt we're putting in this offense because they don't have A.J. Brown, I think as far as weapons, I think that Ryan Tannehill will be okay.
Well, one thing I have to remember too, Michelle, is I remember from his press conference and him saying he didn't have anything to prove. You know, I think he really does. And I think this is a good part where we can inject that conversation again, because it's like, look, you have all these pieces that, you know, could possibly be great, and he still has time to prove himself well. You know what I mean? Like, I really think this is a time where he can seize a moment, seize a good season. And, you know, he's like, oh, I needed, you know, just some good clarity over the game. I rewatched it. And, you know, I think if that game still haunts him, you know, I hope he has this villain season, honestly. I really hope he does.
I think that he has to, or his career is on the line. I think this will be a career-defining season for Ryan Tannehill. And then the big question is, well, what would secure him his job? What type of season would he have to be the quarterback in 2023? And what can he not do, right? So it's hard. You got to look at, like, what would be the line for him? Where does he have to perform above? And that's something that Tennessee's going to have to figure out, and we're going to watch unfold this year, because now that they have drafted a quarterback in Malik Willis, no, I don't think he's ready to step on the field this year whatsoever. But could be a different story in 2023. And a lot of that will depend on how Ryan Tannehill performs this year. But I think if you're looking at this team, my biggest concern will be the offensive line. And I honestly think that only going to get clarity from it when you see them week one. But then again, they are playing the Giants, so who really knows where everybody's going to go. But I would say that would probably be the one concern I have for this team. And, you know, if Ryan Tannehill just builds that chemistry with these guys during training camp, maybe his weapons won't be an issue. Nick, we're going to talk more Titans on the other side. You're listening to Campbell and Knezovic on 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app. Campbell and Knezovic back for our last segment of the day on this beautiful Saturday Memorial Day weekend in Nashville. Hope everybody's having a great day out there, enjoying some nice sunshine, and then hopefully you've got Monday off of work. But if you have it off or if you have it on for work, I will be hosting with Junie Riddle from 9 a.m. to 12:30. No Robbie and Rex Road from 6 to 10 or the DDC or Stillman and Company. We're going to do a special holiday edition of Campbell and Knezovic, but Junie Riddle will be filling in because Elijah Campbell is on vacation. And then Nick will also be rocking behind the boards with us for that show on Monday. Tease it a little bit before the break, just talking about the Titans and what, you know, what is our biggest concern or biggest takeaway heading into this season. Nick, I said that I was concerned about the offensive line and think that, you know, as far as weapon-wise for Ryan Tannehill, things will really come together. If you could just think of one thing, what do you think that yours would be?
I don't know. I think the big thing for me is, and I remember he said something along the lines of the AFC South is changing. And I think that's a big part to do with, you know, the way the Titans can approach the rest of their offseason is, how are they assessing how their other teams in the division are going to improve as well? And, you know, that's obviously a development. That's not something that we're going to see, you know, just happen overnight with all these offseason changes. But I'm curious to see, you know, what kind of, you know, yeah, the wide receiver market is a very big hot topic right now. And mm-hmm. I would love to know the answers, you know, just as much as anybody else does. But it's wide open. Will Fuller's a great option, but he's a liability as far as him staying healthy. But that's the main thing to me that kind of mm-hmm. stands out as far as his conversation goes. I think you've nailed it as far as, you know, what else he's touched on so far. But, you know, I think just looking at the grand scheme of things, they're going to have to really bear down on saying, hey, what's going to be best for us this season? And then I guess my small tidbit too is he also said something along the lines of, you know, is this a football team that's, you know, going in a positive direction too? So, you know, I don't know, like, how are the Titans going to look in 5 years? I think it's dependent on a lot of different guys and how they perform this year.
Well, they're getting younger and it's going to be it'll be interesting to see how some of these rookies develop and perform in the NFL. So, Nick, we do this segment every week. It's called Give and Go. We love doing a little betting segment. So, basically, I'll set it up and I will give you, you know, the game and which team you are going to take, whether we're going to take them on the money line, whether we're going to take them on the spread. And if you are listening, you want to send us in your picks, feel free to text in 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Give me some locks for your weekend. I want to win some money. I bet you guys want to win some money too. What better way to celebrate Memorial Day? Am I right? Okay, first we are starting with the Stanley Cup playoffs. Talked about this game in the first segment with Elijah. This game is going to be at Madison Square Garden. Canes Rangers. It's going to be at 7:10 tonight. The Canes win, they close out the series. If the Rangers win, they keep the series alive and they head back to Carolina. I think that the Rangers are going to bring this game in, or are going to bring this series into seven games. So I'm going to take the Rangers tonight. I think that the Canes have just been so just not themselves on the road and really haven't been able to, you know, secure a game on the road. So I'm going to say that the Rangers take them into seven games. They head back down to Carolina, though, and that the Canes will end up closing out the series. Nick, who do you think you're going to take tonight, Rangers or Canes?
This is tough. I would love to just say that the better team's going to win, but I don't think that's the case in this way whatsoever. I would love to take the Rangers. I love doing score predictions. I may think of one in a second as far as how the game could go, but I do think there'll be game seven. You know, there's been a lot of goal scoring in these playoffs. I mean, just look at the Battle of Alberta. But this series is not that. Now, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, yes, I could see more of that. And I really think what separates the Rangers in this scenario, just to give anyone a tidbit on insight, I don't really think that the Hurricanes have a game breaker. Like, they've got Aho and they've got some decent goaltending. I like Shetsiorkin and I like every player just about on the Rangers offense. I think they can outwork them, and they're on home ice, you know, this evening.
Well, listen, who doesn't love a game seven? Am I right?
Exactly.
So let's hope they take it a seven. In another game seven, we're going to talk about switching over to the NBA really quick. I'm going to do these picks rapid fire. We got just about a minute and a half left with you guys. We got game seven in the NBA, Boston Celtics, Miami Heat. Last night, the Heat and Jimmy Butler, they stay alive. Jimmy Butler said that Dwayne Wade called him and gave him a little pep talk, say, hey, put the Heat on your back. Marquette, pride, right? I'm taking the Boston Celtics. I think that they are destined for a matchup between the Warriors, but I really hope that we finally get a close game out of this. And I think, though, in the NBA Finals this year, it's going to be Celtics-Warriors. Nick, quickly, who do you think?
I think it's going to be the Heat. I'm going to go the other way. I really like how Jimmy Butler played last night. I think that's a big, big thing. So, I mean, he's a good leader, and he's someone I would look to make a big difference in Game 7.
Jimmy Butler's going to play a big role for that Heat. They're going to need a lot of offensive power from him. Boston Celtics are favored by 2.5. I think that they'll be able to cover that. I think they win by about 3 or more. Let's make it fun. Give me Jason Tatum on the over. I think that he's going to have a big game as well. Jimmy Butler on the over. I think that he's going to have a good game as well. I think Boston covers the spread. I think that they also will obviously win on the money line. Real quick today, we forgot for baseball. Kentucky baseball beats Vanderbilt yesterday. Everybody, if you know me, you know I'm a huge Kentucky fan. They are going to face LSU. So essentially it'll be me versus Caroline Fenton because she went to LSU. And then the winner of that will play the Tennessee Vols, who Tony Vitello and gang have just been home running out the park. They're absolutely incredible. I think that they are just going to win all the way until Omaha. We are signing off today. I hope that everybody has a great Memorial Day weekend. I will be back on the mic with Junie Riddle. Nick will be behind the glass on Monday from 9 to 12:30 for a nice little Memorial Day edition of Campbell and Knezovic. You're listening to 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app.